Each week we've been looking at a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, named after the disciple from the first century called Matthew, and he's writing to a mainly Jewish audience, showing that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the hope of God's people Israel. And there's lots of references in Matthew to the Old Testament prophets and Jewish phrases like Son of David, which is what the Jews would have called the promised Messiah. But this was more than a title of where you've come from. It was the phrase that meant that Jesus is the Messiah, not just related to King David. However, it hasn't been going very well. If you remember last week, Jesus has met huge opposition from the Pharisees. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. And when the disciples didn't understand the phrase, the blind leading the blind, he called them dull. So Matthew needs to show us what it looks like to be a true disciple of Jesus, a true Jewish disciple of Jesus, one who is looking for the promised Messiah, one who recognizes Jesus as the fulfillment of that promise, a person who would worship him and the God who sent him. So what man does he choose to show us as an example of the discipleship? Well, he doesn't choose a man at all. It's a woman. So how embarrassing is that? In a misogynistic, patriarchal society, Matthew chooses a woman. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, of course it's a woman. Who else would it be after a man get it all wrong? So what experienced woman does Matthew choose? A senior woman to show us her wisdom. Well, it's not an elderly matriarch. It's a mother with a daughter, which is not going great for these misogynistic Jewish readers. But it gets worse. Not only is she a mum, she's not even Jewish. But it's even worse than that. She's a Canaanite, the Jews' long-standing enemy. So let's read the story from Matthew's Gospel. And I've called this A Woman of Substance. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Yes, it is, Lord, she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. And as we read this story, it appears very odd. Why does Jesus put off, in an apparently unsympathetic manner, a woman who is desperately pleading for her daughter's healing? Why does he appear to demonize her by calling her a dog? Well, this morning, that's what we're here for. We're going to answer those questions. So let's have a look at it in a bit more detail. We begin with Jesus changing locations. He was by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples head north to the non-Jewish towns of Tyre and Sidon, which is in modern-day Lebanon, just south of Beirut. It's a distance of about 30 miles as the crow flies, but there's a mountain in the way, so they would have to travel more like 90 to 100 miles. And Jesus and his disciples are looking for a retreat. As we've just been reading last week, there's an increasing conflict with the Pharisees, and even when Jesus does find a place to retreat to, there's a crowd following him. So where would he go? Well, here's the Mediterranean Sea. I know it looks a bit like Worthing, doesn't it? But that apparently is a picture of the Mediterranean Sea. And why wouldn't you want to go there? It's a great place to be. It's also a good distance away. It's unlikely that the crowds would follow him. But up to this point, Jesus had almost been exclusively with Jewish people. The notable exception was the Roman centurion. But in this passage, we have a taster of what is to come, where non-Jews are the central focus of the New Testament and not just occasional additional recipients. Now, but why Tyre and Sidon? Well, Tyre originally had been a nation friendly to Israel. They had supplied materials for the construction of King David's palace. But later, Tyre and Sidon became adversaries of Israel and targets for prophetic condemnation. For example, Zephaniah, "Woe to you who live by the sea." That's not Worthing, Littlehampton and Goring, by the way. That's to Canaan. "The word of the Lord is against you, Canaan, land of the Philistines." By the time Jesus came around, Canaan had long since gone, and the region was called Phoenicia. And now, if you read the same account in Mark's Gospel, you'll hear that the woman is called a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia rather than a Canaanite. But Matthew keeps the name Canaanite to emphasize to his mainly Jewish readers the significance of the history of Canaan and the continued animosity between Jew and non-Jew and its cultural barriers. So why does Jesus go there? Apart from the fact, obviously, the Mediterranean is a nice place to go. Well, it's because he's used these non-Jewish towns, Tyre and Sidon, as an example of how to repent. This is what it says a few chapters earlier. Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! That if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." So it could be that Jesus decides to go there after mentioning them earlier. Unfortunately, this peaceful seaside place is interrupted by a Canaanite woman. It says, "A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering greatly.'" So this is a strange opening for a start. By saying the word Lord, she is placing herself as one of Jesus' followers. If you remember last week, the Pharisees didn't call him Lord. They called him Rabbi and Teacher. And there may be people here this morning that wouldn't call Jesus Lord. They would call him, you know, a great teacher. But she goes further. She calls Jesus Son of David, the title of the Jewish Messiah. So this is already an indication of her remarkable faith and knowledge that she knows that Jesus is sent to the lost people of Israel. You could say that although Jesus has entered her physical ground, she approaches him on his cultural and theological ground. So Jesus' initial response is nothing. It could imply that Jesus is wrestling with two things. On one hand, his compassion for the woman's plea to heal her daughter, and on the other, the knowledge that his primary focus is to Israel. And it appears that he doesn't know immediately what to do. Perhaps, this is what they said at breakfast church, he was actually